We move into our third and final hour. Nice to have you here. It's been a good day. Really good day. Welcome to the program. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So I mentioned last hour that I try not to do it, but when I mentioned that Doug Ellen comes on, and it's been 10 years since Entourage last aired on HBO, it starts to play in my mind a little bit. In fact, more than a little bit, like 10 years. I mean, not to get too heavy, but this is why you want to be so present. That whole be where your feet are thing. Because if you're not, you could lose 10 years. Literally. You could lose 10 years. Like, where did that go? And I see that, and it makes me think, and it reminds me to be so present. Because if you're not, you can lose that amount of time. And then I mentioned I was scrolling through Twitter earlier, and then I see my guy Damon West. And Damon West responded to something that he saw on Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report tweeted, and that this is so hard for me to even fathom or get my head around. Bleacher Report tweeted, Pat Tillman left the Arizona Cardinals to enlist in the U.S. Army after 9/11. He turned down a $3.6 million contract at 25 years old. Tillman was killed in Afghanistan 17 years ago today. RIP. And then I see that, and that really is hard to get my head around. And I think about Pat Tillman. And when I think about Pat, I've shared my thoughts so many times about Pat. And I wish, one of my forever regrets is that we do not have more sound, because Pat would come on this show. And he came on as a college player. He came on as an NFLer. I had a tour stop in Phoenix. Pat appeared. Pat was there. Pat came out for it. And it's hard for me to understand, even Alvy, I don't even know how this is all we have. We only have a few sound bites, and it's always so eerie to hear Pat's voice, and I play it sometimes. But he came on in December of 1996, and that's the only sound I have from Pat. And since we're talking about his passing, and I've shared my thoughts that I never, ever thought that he would not come back, which was very naive. But now, as time goes on, and it was so shocking and so numbing for so long, now I smile. I smile when I think about Pat and what he represented. And I smile about thinking that he went to Arizona State and what it was like to drop that, quote, nice, swift ass-kicking on Arizona.
Compare the win over Nebraska. I mean, they're number one. They come in and they ran it up on you guys last year. You shut them down in your own crib. Compare how it felt after that game to after beating Arizona.
You know what? After the Nebraska game, that was a huge win. But the Arizona game was more, it was kind of more satisfying because they kicked the hell out of us the last like 3 years. So it meant a little bit more. And I think for the fans, it meant more too. I mean, most people were so damn surprised after the Nebraska game. They were too surprised to really, you know, it didn't really sink in. But the Arizona game was just a nice, swift ass kicking. So it was cool.
So it was one of my favorite lines. But that Arizona game, it was just a nice, swift ass kicking.
Nice,
so it was cool.
Nice, swift ass.
So he was just different. Pat obviously was very, very different, but even long before he made that decision not to sign that contract and to enlist post 9/11, he was just different in college. And he talked about that. He said, it's not really a thing. I'm just trying to be interesting.
Hey, Pat, man, don't even tell me you rock climb. I know you've never been rock climbing. Where did that come from?
No, I just try to be interesting, man. I filled that out when I was a freshman, so I wanted people to think, you know, here comes a guy, he's got a lot of things going on. No, I'm just a bum. I just write things in.
He's talking about filling out a questionnaire, probably for the media guide. So understand, like, those conversations, you can imagine why I was so enthralled. Because the world's so different now. I mean, everybody's got a platform. Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a rap. Pat was saying things like that back then, back in the mid-90s. So I always got such a kick out of it. Talked about the chase also. Remember, like, how things changed. How he helped change the culture there. And Bruce Snyder was the coach. And what a great thing that was at Arizona State at that time. I mean, Arizona State, they're doing great right now. But back then, when they were right in the thick of things, chasing national championships, that really was a thing back then.
All right, so, Pat, what about you going to the Rose Bowl, and you like to think that if you're unbeaten and you take care of business, you control your own destiny. But the fact is you don't. I mean, your destiny actually is controlled by, like I said, a bunch of fat newspaper guys who may or may not ever see you guys play. Do you have a problem with that?
You know what? In a way, I do. In a way, I don't. I mean, if we win this game, we go undefeated, and that's all we could possibly do. And I think everybody appreciates that. If we didn't get the national championship, you know, Florida wins, or Florida State wins, obviously, you know, they got it. So that's cool. They deserve it, too. They didn't lose. But at the same time, it'll be disappointing. But there is a satisfaction in kind of knowing that, you know, you deserved it. And I mean, number two is no slap in the face. So I'll be disappointed, but I'll get over it.
I'll admit it. I mean, I've heard these quotes so many times, but I play them just because I want to hear the guy's voice. I just want to hear his voice. I mean, listen to the energy as a college player. College guys don't show up like that. They don't sound like that. They don't have that kind of it. So we talked about, what are you going to do? And how about like the irony in this question? What are you going to do when you graduate? Pat Tillman, what will you do, Pat, when you graduate?
What are you going to do when you graduate?
I have no idea. I'll figure it out. I don't know. Now, I'm leaving the door open.
I was going to say, people need to understand that you ran some pretty good smack, but you're a second-team academic All-American. What's your GPA?
I was first-team academic.
You were
first-team. Uh-huh. I was second-team football.
So you're like 3.8.
Something like that.
You're phenomenal, man. I'm going to get you a talk show, all right?
Cool.
That exchange. I mean, it's eerie. What are you going to do when you graduate? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Yeah, but you're pretty smart, right? You were second team all academic. No, I was first team all academic, second team football. What would Pat Tillman do when he graduated? Go on to play in the NFL? Leave in the prime of his career to enlist? Fight for his country? Post 9/11? Yeah, one of my favorite people ever. The whole thing is just so eerie. Every year when that comes up, that whole thing rushes over me again. I'll never forget those conversations and how much respect I had for him, how much admiration I had for him. Everybody looked up to Pat and how shocked I was when I heard the news that day. 1-800-636-8686. This guy was there. I'm so glad that some of you listening right now can share this. Dear Jim, I remember that tour stop in Phoenix when Pat took the stage with you. You asked if the Cardinals were going to beat the Cowboys next week. He replied, quote, "We are going to kick their ass." And the crowd erupted. Never forget that. R.I.P. Pat, Jerry in Phoenix. That is so cool that you said that. That's how that went. He did say that. And that's one of my great memories of the tour stops. I had so many great. If you're not familiar with the tour stops, back in the day, I would take the show on the road, except it was not the show. I would do live appearances that were not for air, and we'd go into a community, and these things were enormous events back in the day, enormous events. And we'd get guys out, and they'd come out to the stage, and it was always a kick, because we could, it's kind of like the podcast right now. There were no podcasts back then, but we could go out there on stage and get loose, have some fun, maybe drop a four-letter bomb, and guys would have a good time with it. And it always meant so much, man. I mean, can you imagine, like Nolan Ryan came out, George Brett came out, Pat Tillman came out. I will never forget those times. And, of course, all you clones. Like Pat, it goes without saying. Everybody knows where they were when they heard about his passing. This guy was special. You know, you could argue that there were better players, I'm sure. But Pat was a damn good player. And he was the kind of guy that made everybody around him better. And that seems cliche, but he made them better because the guy was just so different. Like, you wanted to play to a certain standard. Better yet, you wanted to live to a certain standard if you were ever around this guy. And I've heard many, many, many teammates and friends say that about Pat. He held you, even if he didn't actually hold you to a higher standard, he did, because you knew. You knew. Planet Wilson 1 tweets, unbelievable. It's been 17 years since the passing of Pat Tillman. I remember watching Jim Rome speaking at his funeral. R.I.P. Pat Tillman, an American hero. I've always said that was probably the highlight of my career, for whatever that's worth to anybody at all. Of all the things I'm proud of, or I take the most pride in, or I was most humbled by, asking to be the keynote person at the memorial by that family was probably the most humbling thing, and I felt more pressure for that than anything I've ever done. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget even being asked to do so. And the answer obviously was an immediate yes, but I felt a lot of pressure. You know, how do you speak of Pat Tillman? How do you preside over something like that? Maria Shriver was there. John McCain was there. It was something else. At Squirrel 2, what will Pat Tillman do after graduation? The same thing he did before graduation. Be a grade A total badass. You know, and Pat did not do any interviews once he made that commitment. And I always assumed, yeah, I know it's going to be tough to get to him. I know he's not going to want to talk about this, but one day I'll talk to him again. One day. And they never did. So if you have any thoughts on Pat and you want to share them, you can. 1-800-636-8686. I mentioned Damon West. Damon West has been on my podcasts. He tweeted, of all the people I was fortunate enough to play against in college, Pat Tillman was the fiercest competitor of them all. After the game, he was kind and humble. RIP, brother. You are as good of a player and a man that the world will ever know. It's my guy, Damon West. Be a coffee bean. All right, so we are moving through hour number three. I've got Bruce Feldman coming up at 11:40. College football reporter for Fox Sports. I'm looking for you clones to kind of pick it up a little bit. Why don't you step it up some? It's springtime. There will be a smack off at some point this year. If you're like, hey, Rome, you know, it's not one of those days where I'm really into what you're talking about. That's fine. That's good. What do you want to talk about? What is your take? Be a little more active. Be a little more aggressive. Bring something to it. In fact, it's like just consider it your own show. You can come in here in front of a couple hundred affiliates, several zillion people, and do what you want. Host your own show. 1-800-636-8686. Charles Irvin 6 tweets, yo, Jim, I also was at that tour stop in Phoenix with Pat Tillman. The whole day was amazing. Wish you could bring those tour stops back. Thing about that is, first of all, we were going to before the pandemic and actually had one planned in Buffalo. It'll never be like it was back in the day, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, time and place. There was a time for that kind of vibe. If I bring it back, and I'm not sure, but if I bring it back post-pandemic, you know, it's different. It's a different time and a different thing. But if you were a part of those things back then, I'm glad that you remember them and could share that. That was a good day. All right, when we come back, the A's. I talked about the Yankees at the top of the program way back in hour number one and how right now nobody looks worse than the American League. Nobody looks better than the Oakland A's right now. Even more impressive when you consider the way they started the year. I want to get into that. Bruce Feldman is always good on the show. He's coming up at 11:40. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
The ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. Welcome back. All right, so once again, the tour stops, right? We had them for a number of years, and they were just enormous. You've heard me play the sound from some of these tour stops. Gigantic, gigantic events. They were a blast. They were fun. They had their time. They had their place. And then I finally stopped doing them. You know, the world changed. And then we were going to bring them back and, in fact, did our first deal, and we were going to do one in Buffalo, and then the pandemic hit, and you certainly cannot assemble, and you can't do that. So we've kind of tabled that idea for now. But a number of you have ideas. So if you want to share them, you go right ahead. In fact, what I'd like to do right now, at least for one segment, I've got Bruce Feldman coming up at 11:40. Why don't we roll a few telephone calls? Open phones. A mini open phone segment breaking out. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Santa Cruz, Blaze. What's going on, Blaze? How are you?
Good, dude. How are you doing, my friend?
Good, dude. Good.
Right on, right on. It's been a crazy, crazy year since the talk. Went through some crazy fires. I live up here in the mountains, and I'm sure everybody on the news saw all that crap. But listen, I got a take on the tour stop ideas. Beans, everybody travels around and kind of sees each other as far as phones go. Why don't you do some tour stops around L.A.? There's plenty of beaches that would love your company and the crew. Good sports bars. Hell, I'd get on a plane. I'd come down for the weekend, catch a wave, come by the show, that type of deal. Just thought I'd say hello. Want to say war, not hearing Rex for a while. And the show Rex. Anyhow, I'm out. You guys sound good. Good show, brother.
Good job, Blaze. Appreciate you, brother. Nice job. All right, so what he just said was, if you've got clones that fly around the country to congregate and assemble and mobilize, why don't you just have them come to you instead of you going to them? You're in Southern California. You've got all these amazing beach towns all around you. We will come to you, Rome. Just set up shop somewhere. Just post up. It's not a bad idea, actually. He's right. There are a lot of great beach towns we talked about the other day. In fact, this is how they started. This is how the tour stop started. The history of the tour stop is back when I worked in local radio in San Diego, they would roll us across town. And I started to do these events, you know, like any local radio show back in the day. You know, before there was the internet and social, before there were simulcasts, you would find a local client, there'd be a bar, there'd be a restaurant. They'd want you to do your show from that bar or restaurant. We would do it in San Diego, Orange County, Los Angeles. And then people would come out. And I did that. I mean, the old school jungle will remember the Charlie Brown's hits. I would do a Charlie Brown hit every Monday. 4-hour show, live, middle of the day at Charlie Brown's. Charlie Brown's was a franchise, and they had them all over Southern California. They would just move me around Monday to Monday to Monday. I mean, never forget. I don't think a lot of you remember this. My guy Joe Tatino would remember this. When I started in San Diego on 690 AM, they wanted to have an LA presence, so they moved me physically. They moved the show, and they moved me to LA. And I did a show in Legend Sports Bar in LA, and it was the worst 3 months of my entire life, literally. It sucked. It was terrible. They had me off in the side of the bar, and they didn't promote it. I was just there. And I'd be on the air saying, hey, I'm coming to you live from Legends. I mean, it was like the dumbest thing ever. It made no sense. I couldn't hear myself. Nobody was there to see me. They just saw this freak, like this punk in the corner trying to do a radio program. And I could not hear myself think. And there was this engineer, this weird dude back in the day, no names mentioned. And I said, listen, I got a problem, all right? I can't hear myself. It's a loud bar. Nobody's there to see me. You're asking me to do a radio show for a 50,000-watt radio station. And I can't hear myself think. I can't hear the people I'm talking to. He's like, I got an idea. I've got this headset that pilots use. You just jam those buds right in your ear. And so I do. And man, it hurts. Like, it hurts a lot. Like, I'm getting an aneurysm from this thing. And this is going on night after night after night. It's like the dumbest thing in my entire career. Thankfully, the PD finally turned on the show one night, program director, and he's like, yo, you sound like crap. Your show sucks. I'm like, yeah, really? What do you think I've been trying to tell you for like 8 weeks? He's like, you come home. I said, good. When? He's like, tomorrow. I said, good. And I came back to San Diego. Hey, Blaze, I got a better idea. Instead of me posting up at some bar, I got an idea. How about I give you the address to this studio, bro, and you and I could just hang out? Come in here, man. Just bring a few of your bros. You can post up right here in the studio. As long as you get your second vaccination, I may roll you in here, man. Wear your mask. Get your second dose. Better yet, Broham, how about I give you my home address and we just do it from there? Dude, you can hang out. I'll let Janet know that you're going to crash on the couch for a few weeks. It's my dude, Blaze. Dude, notice how that guy's name is Blaze. and the way he sounded. Now, I mean, literally, things like that used to go on in my career. That's how my career got started. That was the night show. They sent me to L.A. to a restaurant and didn't promote it. But I was on the air saying, I'm in this restaurant. Weird. Let's go to Wisconsin. Jared in Wisconsin. What's up, Jared? How are you?
Good, Jim. I meant to call in yesterday, but I was a little sleep deprived from all the 9 o'clock central start times the Brewers had on the West Coast. But then I heard you talk about Pat Tillman and the Naismith ass-kicking, and it immediately reminded me of the beatdown that the Brewers put on the Padres this week, without their MVP and Christian Yelich, mind you. For years, the crew has been all hitting, no pitching, and now we finally have guys like Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, who are out there throwing gas. So the rest of the NL better take notice. War, Jukebox Fridays, I'm out.
All right, Jared, it's funny, right? We're talking, and I'm guilty of this because of where I am. I've told you before, I'm in Orange County. I live in Orange County. I work in Orange County. Orange County is right smack dab in the middle of L.A. and San Diego. So I'm right in the middle of this thing, and it's never been better. The Dodgers, the defending world champs, are a team to beat, and they get out quickly. Padres playing good baseball, too. Fernando Tatis came back from injury. So we're talking a lot about the Dodgers and the Padres, but they're not the only two teams in the National League, right? The Brewers are nice. They are nice, and it's exactly what that guy just said. They're pitching legitimate arms for the first time in a long time. They are legit. They've got some filth in that rotation now. And I'm also struck by this. Whenever we talk Brewers baseball, a Brewers fan comes out. They've just been waiting for an opportunity. So they are looking good this year. Let's go to, man, why not go back-to-back Wisconsin? Let's keep it right there. Jake in Wisconsin. It's good to have you, Jake. How are you?
I'm well, Rome. Thanks for the vine. Hey, I just wanted to say, I think you ought to think about making a tour stop down in old Rockford, Illinois, where the population never changes, because every time a baby's born, a daddy leaves town. Out.
Dude, I don't know why that's funny, but that was funny. All right, so I'll put that on the list. I'm not going to say that if I bring the tour stops back, we're going to Rockford. But you got to admit, I want to go places that are interesting, places where I've never been before. I want to go someplace where the census never changes or the population never changes. Because when a baby is born, a father leaves town. I don't know, man. Problem is, you got to admit, deadbeat dads are one of our stronger demos for not only for the program, but for the genre overall. Yeah, thanks for the idea. Jake in Wisconsin. Some of the best minds are in Wisconsin. Let's go to San Diego. We're rolling telephone calls this segment. Reggie in San Diego. Reggie, how are you?
Hey, good, Rome. Hey, now that Jack Murphy's been imploded, I was just flashing back to the tour stop in 96 when you're out there in center field. We had Cammy, we had Fins, and the karma rubbed off big time. Well, I think starting then, because we went to the playoffs, swept the Dodgers in LA for the last three games of the season, and I believe it carried over obviously into the 98 season. But yeah, Rome, great times. I've been listening to you since 93. Awesome, brother. Got to roar everybody into the pattern. All right.
My man, Reggie, nice job. He's right. We had a tour stop at Jack Murphy Stadium. He mentioned Cammy and Fins. Ken Caminiti and Steve Finley, both big jungle guys. I love Cammy. Ken Caminiti was one of my favorite guys. Absolutely loved him. Well, those were good, good times. That was a great tour stop. And when the Padres were good, man, that town was live. When the Chargers were good and, quote, everybody was into the pattern. Good times. San Diego is still America's finest city. That's where the show started in Santa Barbara, but took hold in San Diego. Jano and I met in San Diego. I had amazing times there. Still do. Go back whenever I can. But the show in the early days, man, those tour stops were absolutely amazing. And that one was at the stadium. Appreciate your tour stop ideas. Good times. Got Bruce Feldman coming up. Really quickly, let's go to Ventura. Terry, what's going on, Terry? How are you?
Hey, Jim. Good to talk to you, man.
You too.
Years and years. I'm a geezer clone, okay, bro? I've been listening to you from the very beginning. So real quickly, Anacostia Park at the amphitheater in Isla Vista, bring the tour stop and the boys out there, and you'll tear that place up. That would be really cool.
That'd be fun, Terry. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate an old geezer like you, Terry. Nice job. Problem with that is if I go to that park in IV, all those kids be like, who's that old man? Who's the old man talking junk to a bunch of other old men in IV? Isla Vista, yo. UC Santa Barbara. The Harvard of the West.
Yo.
Such good times. Dog Bleep Park. Sam's to go. My man, Mayor Dad. Selling beer to us. Selling Sandoz to us at Sam's back in the day. Such good times. Jake Rome is at Wisconsin. Logan Rome took his PACT. So we're trying to figure out what's going to happen to that kid. Logan Rome. Rogues gave me an update on his slide piece last night. He's got greater command of his slider now. But he's dropped down. He's no longer coming over the top. My man's dropping down. He's going sidearm with it. All right, when we come back, that's the baseball update for Rogan Loam. Remember the same Rogues saw my story on Instagram. He's like, hey, yo, pop. In fact, he didn't bring it up. I said, hey, yo, son, did you see me feature you prominently on my story? He's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. Did you not like that? He's like, it was all right. It's all right. I'm like, why was it all right? He said, well, it would have been better if you showed my heat instead of my change. I'm like, really, son? I thought that was your heat. And then we're talking junk back and forth. I'm like, oh, really? That was your change. Oh, I thought that was your 48-mile-an-hour heat, son. It's all right. When we come back, Bruce Feldman joins me. That's next. First up, here... Appreciate that little walk down memory lane. Folks like nostalgia. Getting kind of nostalgic with it for about 10 minutes. That was nice. Let's keep moving. At Goat39 writes, don't forget the National Sports Bar. Never, Mac. Of course not. I did hit three of those things in one day once. Three events in one day on that chain. As promised, we are joined right now by a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, National College Football Insider for The Athletic. New York Times bestselling author. His latest book is Flip the Script with Ed Orgeron. He is Bruce Feldman. Bruce, good to have you on. How are you, Bruce?
I'm doing great. Good to be on with you, Jim.
It's good to have you, Bruce. Thanks so much. You've got a great piece up right now for The Athletic where you talk with two dozen NFL coaches and scouts about players in the draft. And you've got details about what it's been like, Bruce, for draft evaluation video calls with the players. For those who have not read the piece yet, there's this one story involving a mother who was on the call and another when a player wanted to know when the call was going to be over. What happened in those incidents and what has that part of the process been like for everybody?
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy and chaotic. So the one story involving that one player and the mom, just kind of, she did not want her son to interview with a team. And, the team was kind of blown away by it a little bit. And this is a talented player, albeit a really inconsistent one. And it's definitely not going to help him, I would think, in the draft process. But you know, I was told she basically said, I'll do his talking for him. And the team was like, hey, look, recruiting's over. In the NFL, we pick you. You don't pick us. And apparently this mom was used to that's how it was, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago. And That probably doesn't bode well for this guy's draft stock.
What a wild story. I'm going to do the talking for him. That is something else. Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, so what about the evaluations themselves, starting with Trevor Lawrence? Like, it's been pretty interesting in the sense that you really can't find anybody, seemingly, who has anything bad to say about him at all. So what did the people that you spoke with say about him and his game? Is there anybody out there that wants to be an outlier that will point out a flaw or anything negative about him at all?
Not really. Nothing that's glaring. I think the one thing I heard the most from quarterback coaches in the NFL was just, okay, the system he ran in, at Clemson, there's going to be a little, be a bit of a transition and a learning curve. It's not as pro NFL ready as what, say, Mac Jones ran with Steve Sarkisian at Alabama. But everybody is convinced, you know, from their interviews, because he's also played a lot of football at a high level for 3 years at Clemson, that character-wise and tangible-wise, he's terrific. Everybody likes him. He's got really good size. He has a really good arm. He's very athletic. Is he the perfect quarterback prospect? No, but there is nobody who is that. I mean, one of the coaches I talked to said, you know what, evaluating him and Joe Burrow last year, I like Joe Burrow more. Now, Trevor's arm is probably stronger, but both guys are athletic. Trevor's a little bigger, but Joe Burrow was doing more in how he ran their system and empty protections and did a lot of stuff and just maybe saw the game in a way maybe that some of these prospects don't, at least not to the degree they do. But this guy is befitting of a first pick of the draft talent-wise, no doubt.
Bruce Feldman is joining us. All right, so these same coaches, what were they telling you about their impressions of Zach Wilson?
His is an interesting one because he has some of the one-year wonder quality where in 2019 he was banged up and played hurt and, you know, struggled at times. You saw some great stuff. You saw some not-so-great stuff. This past year, through no fault of BYU's, their schedule wasn't very good because they couldn't play Power 5 opponents. So people looked at it and said, okay, he didn't play great teams. He played fantastic, but there is some concerns about his play style, some of the decision making. People are like, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be attempting that. One of the coaches I talked to said, listen, you know, he did not play you didn't see him in a tight pocket a lot of times last year. And our league is a tight pocket league. He's also not the biggest guy. And yes, he has a really good arm, but there is some concern about, you know, how well will he hold up? Also, when he goes, if he does go to the Jets, as a lot of people expect, with the number two pick, he is going to be expected to play right away. And it's not like he's going to be learning from somebody. He's also going into not having a lot of talent around him. And the expectations, and we know what the New York media market could be like, that is something that gives a lot of people I talk to some real concern about how well will he do in that situation. It's not like Patrick Mahomes, who also had, you know, for as great as his arm talent was, and I know that people talk about, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback and how terrific he's been, but coming out of Texas Tech, there were concerns about his decision making and some of the stuff, chances he would take. Patrick Mahomes went to the Kansas City Chiefs and could learn behind Alex Smith, which was a great opportunity, and also has Andy Reid, who was a terrific quarterback developer and system that he had. Those things are not going to be in place when he goes to the Jets, if Zach Wilson does go to the Jets.
And Eric Bieniemy, too, I think that's a really interesting point. Like, where you end up does matter. No matter who you are, it does matter. Bruce Feldman joining us. So, Bruce, what about the people you spoke to in terms of their evaluation of Trey Lance? What do they think about the number of games he played and the caliber of defenses that he went up against? What was the thought or the thoughts on him?
He is, as they explained, a really tough evaluation because he really had played one full season. And it's not like they threw it 50 times a game. It's a very pro-style play-action pass, under center. There's a lot of good things there. It's just a smaller sample size. The competition level was also a concern. You know, he goes up against the defense and he makes somebody miss and gets a first down. That's not like making a defender in the SEC miss. And it's just the competition was not the same. Not to say that they do not really like what they see and aren't intrigued. I mean, the things that are kind of eye-popping for them is he has a ton of juice in his arm. He is He probably has the strongest arm in this quarterback group. People said his maturity, A+, football IQ, A+. There is a little bit of concern just about how quickly will he be ready, because his mechanics a little bit, there's some stuff that they say that he needs to clean up. There's some inconsistency there in his mechanics. But in terms of the intangibles, people love the intangibles. Everything that has come out of North Dakota State about him has been glowing. It's just, you know, he's still really young, but there's a lot to like there.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman. He's got a great piece up on The Athletic right now about the draft. Bruce, before you go, what about Mac Jones? I mean, he went from being somebody that nobody really was thinking about or talking about after Tua left to being a possible top three pick overall. What do you make of that climb, and what did the quarterback coaches that you spoke with make of that climb?
Well, from a system standpoint, Jim, they say he is the most ready because of what he did at Alabama, how he operated it. You hear a lot of really glowing things about his accuracy, how quickly he processes it and anticipates. Those are all really, really good things. The concern that, you know, I heard from some quarterback coaches in the league was just, hey, is this guy physically what you would expect to see from a top five pick? Because one of the things that had come up was, you know, does he have the athleticism within the pocket to be able to get his feet right, because he doesn't have that big arm. And so he's going to need to be right from a base standpoint. He can't get away with doing some of the stuff that Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or, you know, Justin Fields or certainly Trevor Lawrence can do, just some of those things. But people I talk to in the league who've been in the league a long time said, you know what, if you look at these five guys and say, I got to win now and I got to get to 8-8, they like him more than they like some of these other guys because they think he is more ready. The thing you hear a lot is he has a very high floor, but maybe his ceiling certainly isn't what Trey Lance's is or Zach Wilson's or really any of the other guys, at least how they interpret it. I mean, could he be a better version of Kirk Cousins? Absolutely. Is a better version of Kirk Cousins somebody you're going to pick with the third pick in the draft? I don't know. So that's where it's going to be really interesting and see if he does go to the 49ers and how he would fit there.
Bruce Feldman all over the upcoming NFL draft. Bruce, one more guy I want to ask you about. Devontae Smith, so dominant last year at Alabama. He made things look so easy at the same time as we know he's not the biggest guy ever. He played last year at 170. Reportedly, Bruce, he weighed in at 166 recently. How big of a concern is that for the coaches you spoke with?
It's definitely a concern. Look, they love everything about him other than that. Great, great, unbelievable hand-eye coordination they talked about. You know, great body control, really, really smart and instinctive. But this is something one of the coaches had pointed out to me. It's the world we live in, man. Big guys beat up little guys. When you take a shot from the side, from these monsters, that's when you get AC issues. That's when you get collarbone issues. So no matter how tough he is, no matter how willing he is, the durability part, I think, especially if you're talking about a top 15 pick, is something that there's going to be some hesitance. I mean, 166 pounds. We are not talking also about just a one-dimensional kind of a situational guy. We're talking about a guy who a lot of people, if you're taking him that high, you're saying, can he be a number one receiver? There's a lot. You know, on film, it's great. Everything you hear from Alabama is great. It's just the durability concerns of how long can he play this way at that size is something you hear some debate about.
And that is such a good look at the upcoming NFL draft. He is a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, a national college football insider for The Athletic. He is a New York Times bestselling author and the latest book, of course, Flip the Script with Ed Orgeron. Good friend of the program, Bruce Feldman. Bruce, well done as always. Thanks so much for doing that.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Great job, Bruce. Always good to talk to you. If it feels like we've been talking about and previewing the NFL draft for months, it's because we've been talking about and previewing the NFL draft for months, and I still can't get enough. I'm trying to talk to every single player who's going to be drafted. The next generation of paint protection graphene nanospray coating will provide up to 12 months of professional level protection, insane water beating, jaw-dropping shine, and all with one simple application. Visit 303radio.com for more information. Make sure you finish strong. Got one more show. The Friday edition. It's going to be good tomorrow. Be there. I may even talk a little soccer tomorrow. Yes, I said it. My thanks to Bruce Feldman. We had Indiana head football coach Tom Allen. We had Atlanta Hawks interim head coach Nate McMillan. Now you are safe to go find episode 171 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Doug Ellen, creator of Entourage. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.